This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Rich Adarosa, the senior pastor of Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida. I've been in the ministry for about 30 years, and I really have a heart for evangelism and equipping saints to do the work of the ministry. And now, here is the message today, and the title is Faith and Fruit. Praise God. So what we want to do today is we want to study on the subject of faith. We also want to study on the subject of fruit. You know, a lot of different ministries tend to focus on one or the other. As a Word of Faith preacher, kind of came up under the tutelage of Brother Hagin. Obviously, a lot of what we preached on had to do with Mark 11, 23 and 24. In fact, you might want to turn there in your Bible as I go through this short introduction. And one of the very interesting things about this is a lot of people in the Word of Faith movement kind of went off the deep end. You've heard a lot about the people that are the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, whatever it might be. And unfortunately, those terms weren't always meant in the nicest of situations. And then there was a number of people who have taught that the fruit of the Spirit is the most important thing in our Christian walk. And certainly, who can deny the fact that having the fruit of the Spirit, the very character and personality of Jesus working in your life, is important. What I finally realized a couple of months ago was that God was interested in us operating in both. He wants us to be faith-filled men and women, and He wants us to develop and show the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the thing about the fruit of the Spirit is it's something that the world would love to take a bite of. Unfortunately, a lot of the fruit some of us bear in our lives is not really of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or the recreated human spirit, but rather it's fruit of things that, well, let's just be honest with ourselves, it's not of the Spirit, it's of the flesh. Well, as believers, it's also important to understand that Jesus said that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You know, that scripture's in the Bible for a particular reason. And we also know that the Bible says that faith worketh by love. And so as I began to study these things, I began to realize that faith and fruit really go together. And so we're going to talk a little bit about faith, and we're going to talk a little bit about fruit, and I believe the Holy Spirit's going to bring a connection between the two, and I believe you'll see that, and I hope it'll help you with your walk with the Lord. You know, I've always believed in healing. Thank God that I had a revelation of God's healing power from early on in my life as a Christian. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I began to be immersed in the Word and was in a church that believed very strongly that God desired all men to be healed and that it wasn't something for only a few. I mean, remember that Jesus went about all the synagogues preaching and teaching and healing the sick. So certainly part of what Jesus did. So part of what the Word wants to do in our lives as we walk around like Jesus walked is certainly to be able to operate in the faith that God's given us. And the last two messages that I've shared with you had to do with the fact that we're equipped for the assignment that God's given us. So this morning, or this afternoon rather, what I'd like to do is I'd like us to turn to Mark 11:23 and Mark 11:24 and you know, we're going to be reading from the New King James. Gets rid of a few of these and thous, and for some it makes them feel a little more comfortable than switching over to some of the versions of the Bible that may be a little less popular. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, the scripture says, "For assuredly, Jesus saying now, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Now, we could spend weeks talking about these scriptures and the verses before this and after this, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to relate to you the importance of the fruit of the Spirit and the importance of faith. The two are not disconnected, as I've said before, but the two work together. If we look at this scripture, the Bible talks about a mountain. Well, we know that Jesus isn't asking us to move the Alps farther north in Switzerland, and he's not asking to move the Rocky Mountains a couple of miles north of where they are. That's not the type of mountain he's talking about. He's talking about mountains of situations and circumstances. We know that for anyone, it could be a financial need. It could be a physical need. It could be really anything. And we know that, as we studied last week, that Jesus went about doing good. And so all in the part of doing good, we're going to run into mountains from time to time. I know when I used to ride my bicycle, I sure loved to ride downhill. And honestly, going on a flat, straight road wasn't bad. But boy, I sure really had to work hard and huff and puff when I had to go up those hills. Well, that was many, many years ago. But we can relate the same. So the mountain that Jesus is talking about here is a particular issue in your life. And he says that I say to you, whatever you say to the mountain. So we have to say something. In fact, you're going to find out that Jesus, in these verses 23 and 24, has a lot more to say about the saying part of it than the believing or even the doubt part of it. And the reason that is because what you hear will cause you to think and cause you to act differently. Jesus said that through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, that now then we have to have our minds renewed through the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Word of God produces the faith that we need to be able to believe God for what we're believing to Him. And Jesus is saying here to us that this faith that we're talking about is the kind of faith that moves mountains. It'll affect the situations and circumstances. It probably doesn't require my saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Your faith was not given to you in order to influence or change other people's life. You know, everyone has been given a free will by God, and thank God he did, because who would want someone to love him who was forced to do it? But God has given us a free will. In fact, he's even given us the will to be able to deny Jesus and spend the rest of eternity in the place that was originally created for the devil and his angels, and that place is called hell. And so Jesus says that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now notice he said does not doubt in his heart, because sometimes we'll doubt in our head a little bit. But you can still be okay in your heart and not quite right in your head. But the two do work together, believe it or not. He said, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. And he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, one of the other mistakes believers make, and I know I've made plenty of them, is we're always putting faith into the future. Well, I believe God can do it. I believe one day God is going to provide that need. I believe it's going to happen one day. Well, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you remember the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is in the now. Faith is not in the future. When the Bible says that with his stripes you were healed, that means you're healed now. You're not healed in the future. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about faith and healing on our Sunday messages, because I think sometimes we've kind of got away from the very basics, and we need to get back to the basics, because if you and I are going to operate in the power of the Spirit and allow God to work his miraculous power in us and through us, we're going to need to understand how faith operates. And we're also going to need to understand how the fruit of the Spirit is there to help us. I'd like to say it this way. The character of God, your character, will carry you from the promise to the place where that solution is provided. In other words, when I pray for my healing, I tell God, Father, I thank you that I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I believe that when I pray, I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. Now, sometimes we'll notice that it manifests immediately. Other times it may take some period of time. We also know that there are other hindrances to our faith, but that's really not the focus of our message today. But understand that we have to believe we receive when we pray. That's what faith does. Faith takes hold. Faith is the very substance of what it is that we're praying and hoping for. And so for faith to function, we have to believe that we receive when we pray. You know, when you get to that place that you believe God's word over your circumstances, even if it hasn't happened and manifested in this natural realm, you're in a great place, my friend. You're going to see the faith that God has given us through the life that we have in Christ and through the word of God. You're going to see some tremendous things take place. And so we see here that faith operates, and it's a result of what we say and a result of what you believe. Certainly you remember the scriptures in Romans chapter 10 that talks about how if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. You see, when you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, that's a powerful thing. And what you say out of your own mouth, you hear better than anybody else. A lot of people, when they start out in faith, they'll start out by just speaking the word, but they don't necessarily believe it. But I guarantee you, folks, that if you'll continue to speak the word, that it will produce in your heart a desire for that thing. The Bible says that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so what happens is we begin to speak the word, it gets into our heart. And out of our heart, we begin to speak the word. And so you have a, as Charles Capps used to call it, a bit of a dynamo going on here. And things begin to really accelerate in the spirit concerning the manifestation of what you prayed for. But faith is that substance, and faith is now. We've always told people that it's better to meditate on the scriptures first and begin to get that word on the inside of you before you pray and stand in believing. The reason a lot of people pray and then let loose of their faith has to do with what they're speaking in their confession. And so they lack patience, or perhaps they lack the long suffering that it takes, or the time that it takes to develop for it manifests. And sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. Aren't you glad that when you say something silly like, boy, I wish I was dead. Have you ever said that? I've said that before. I'm not proud of it. But thank God my faith is not to that point where when I declare something like that, it automatically happens. You see, a lot of the people in the faith movement and the word of faith movement kind of got into the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. And see, the speaking of the word of God is wonderful. But understand that faith does not deny the circumstances. Faith merely says that those circumstances are subject to the word of God and therefore subject to change in line with God's will. And so we've seen that faith is very important. Faith is super important. I mean, by faith, we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that all these men and women, they received a good report. Why? Because by faith, they believed God. And so we need to continue to believe God. I know you do. And so now I want to talk to you a little bit more. If you go to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul is now talking to the believers in Galatia about the fruit of the Spirit. And let me say this. You can operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but not be manifesting much fruit of the Spirit. Because the gifts are given to profit the body of Christ and to help in evangelizing the world, certainly. But you know, the thing about gifts is that gifts are given. But I want you to know that if you will take the Word of God and believe the Word of God, you don't need to operate in the gifts. You can just believe God for yourself. Well, I just know that if I go to so-and-so, they have a gift of the Spirit, and I know that I'm going to receive my healing. Well, praise God. But faith comes from the Word, and faith should be in the Word, not necessarily some man's anointing. Now, That's not to say that you can't believe someone's anointed. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying stay with the word. Now in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," and some would translate that as patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law." Of course not. You can't put a law on spiritual things. Spiritual things are not necessarily a bunch of do's and don'ts. You know, we get in trouble sometime when we try to force people to make a change from the outside and then think it'll affect them on the inside. But that's not what Jesus meant at all. What Jesus wants us to do is become born again and allow the Holy Spirit to make us a new creature in Christ. We've talked about this last week and the week before. So that we are now in a place where the Spirit of God can begin to change us. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit of God. You can't produce the Spirit of or fruit of the Spirit in your life by just wishing it. You can't produce the Spirit fruit by wishing it or teaching it. I laugh when I think about this, but I remember a lady one time said to me, she goes, "Well, I'm going to teach my child some patience." Well, good luck. How many apple trees have you taught to produce apples? You don't do it. It's inherent in the seed. And if you've been born again, it's inherent. It's on the inside of you. It may remain in seed form if you don't cultivate it and use it and work with it and follow the Spirit. But if you don't follow the Spirit of God and you obey the lusts of the flesh, there's not going to be a whole lot of fruit in your life, even though it's in seed form. You know, the other thing that's very interesting is when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the Greek word is actually spoke there in singular form, indicating that the fruit is not just necessarily individual separate fruits. I mean, I've never seen a tree, have you, that has all different fruits on it? I mean, it's got pears on one side, apples on the other side, oranges in the middle, papayas, and all these crazy fruits that we have down here in Florida. But it's referencing fruit more or less as a whole, not independent characteristics. You see, as we grow, all of the personality and character of Christ will be manifested in our lives. I wrote it this way in my notes. It's not taught, it's not caught, it's developed through the living communion with the Father and His Word. And so we see then that God has given us the fruit of the Spirit. Well, wait a minute now. There's a lot of people that believe that when they got sick, that God was trying to teach them something, and through that sickness and disease, that they developed a lot in the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I can't deny that, because when calamity and problems happen in our lives, what normally happens is we have what's on the inside of us working to give us the grace to get through it. But listen, folks, God's best is not for you to live with sickness and disease in your body. God's best is not for you to be tormented in your soul by the enemy, by the devil, and by his demons. And the things that God has for you, many times the afflictions may be significant, but God said the afflictions of the righteous. He said he would deliver us out of them all. But during that time of deliverance, you're still going to have to go through some difficult situations, and we all know that. Amen. And so the fruit of the Spirit developed in your life through your communion with God and your opportunities to walk in the Spirit are going to produce in you a character that is a sustaining character. It's going to produce a no-quit character in you. It's going to produce somebody that won't be denied. I love it. Smith Wigglesworth would not be denied. He would say to his Bible students, "Go in there and pray for those people, and don't you dare come back till they're all healed." Hallelujah. You talk about some faith. That man had faith. But you know what? We can have the same faith. That faith comes by hearing, and that hearing comes through the Word of God. So let me add a little bit to what I'm saying. If you go to the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 4, James the pastor says this. Now, you know that pastors tend to be very practical because they want their people, their sheep, they want them to know how to apply the Word of God in their lives to make a difference. You see, it's not good enough just to know about all the different things that we can teach upon, that if it doesn't affect you and if it doesn't cause your life to be more transformed about to Jesus and to have a greater love for him, then I'm wondering, are we doing our best in bringing that information? You know, Paul talked to Timothy and said in the end days, there'd be a lot of people with itching ears. They just want to hear some new revelation. Well, when people start coming around giving you brand new revelation that you've never heard before and a lot of other people have never heard before, you need to really make sure it checks out with the Word. The Word is your source and your final authority, folks, and the Spirit and the Word always agree. Now, in James chapter 1 and verse 4, the Holy Spirit speaks through James saying this, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So, let me tie faith and fruit together for you. When you stand praying and you believe when you prayed, whatever that mountain was, that you spoke to in the name of Jesus. Now notice, he said you speak to that mountain. He didn't say asking Jesus to do it. He didn't say ask me to rebuke the devil for you. No, he said you speak the word. You say to the mountain. He said when you do that, you need to understand that you believe you receive when you pray. But both all of us who are Christians, we notice that sometimes the manifestation doesn't happen right away. And so it's the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the character and personality of our Lord Jesus Christ that will sustain you, as you stand in faith, waiting patiently for the promise to manifest. Did you hear what we said? That your character will take you from the place of promise to the place of manifestation. That's why fruit is so important. Now, by the same token, it's not a matter of just having fruit in your life. Fruit is developed through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He says you have to abide in the vine. Well, in order to bear fruit, you've got to remain in the vine. And as we said before, yes, we can develop the fruit of the Spirit through difficult situations. And primarily the situations that we're dealing with have to do with persecutions, afflictions, which the afflictions more or less have to do with pressure that comes on us for certain things. It's not necessarily physical beatings or whatever, although those do happen still in countries of this world. We're so thankful and we're so blessed to live in this precious United States of America that we live in. And so we see in our scriptures here today that your character, your fruit, the fruit that's in your life, the very character and personality of Jesus will cause you and help you to be able to stand as you're waiting for the manifestation of the promise. Hallelujah. Mountains don't always come down instantly. God never promised it would happen instantly. I've got to say, when it comes time for praying for people, and we have so many wonderful promises, anybody that believes that healing's not for all just hasn't read the Bible. I just got to be honest and be that frank with you. The Bible even says that if you have enough faith, you can go to somebody else who believes, and they'll pray the prayer of faith, and God will raise them up. And if the person has committed sin, it'll be forgiven him. I mean, God has given us so many different avenues to receive healing. That's why I love to pray for it. And you know what? When it comes to gifts of the Spirit, folks, and I'm speaking to people that God has called and equipped and anointed to do the works of Jesus, when it comes to these things, start out in faith. And many times, as you start out in faith, just taking the promise of God and believing that, there will be times, as the Spirit wills, where manifestations of gifts will take place. I'll say it this way too. You want to see the gifts of the Spirit operate? Get out there in the world where people need them. You know, we like to talk about having children's outreaches and we go with all sorts of candy and everything. I'm sure the parents aren't crazy about that. But we go out there, and what do we bring? We bring gifts. When you go out to minister to people in the name of Jesus, God has equipped you and will work through you his gifts for these people. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about that. I just can't wait to get out there and do another outreach. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance." There's that word endurance, that patience. "The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The scripture says that we are to run the race with patience, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. So here we have a mention of faith and patience. Faith and patience go together. Fruit and faith go together. Faith and fruit go together. Don't spend all your time just trying to, you know, speak to things and say, "Well, I'm just going to start saying everything, and I'm going to just start speaking and all that stuff." Listen, you've got to also have the character of God. You've got to have the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said that faith worketh by love. If you're not walking in faith, how do you expect your faith to function properly? We're not going to get into it, but if you read the book of Jude, the book of Jude tells us that by praying in the Holy Spirit, we keep ourselves in the love of God, and that it builds us up. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith. In other words, we can inspire our faith, the spiritual substance of the thing that we're believing God for. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says this, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You see, a lot of believers thought that they would inherit the promise just because we said it, and that's all part of it. But you got to be hanging in there. And I used to say, there's a lady in our church, her name was Johnny May Baker, wonderful woman of God. And she would always say, I'd say, "How are you doing, Johnny May?" And she'd say, "Well, Pastor, I'm hanging in there." And I'd say, "Johnny May, what are you doing just hanging in there?" She says, "I'm hanging on to my faith." And I never fully understood it until recently, where I realized that she knew something I didn't know. I mean, I was preaching about faith and how to operate it and do it and all that. But you know what? What I didn't fully comprehend was the importance of the faith of God and the fruit of the Spirit, the patience of God, the long-suffering, the temperance, the self-control. You know, sometimes we believe God, we're standing in faith, and we decide, "Well, I'm going to take it in my own hand." And because we don't have self-control, we go out there and do it on our own. And then we tell everybody, "God did it." I know, I'm stepping on somebody's shoes right now. So we said that, understand that faith and fruit go together. Hallelujah. Well, I am so glad that you joined us today. And if the message that we ministered to you has touched your heart, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us by emailing us at PahokeHarvest@AOL.com, or you can go to our website, Church of the Harvest Pahokee. It's Pahokee spelled P-A-H-O-K-E-E. That's Church of the Harvest Pahokee.com. Or if you want to do it the good old-fashioned way, please write to us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. That's Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. Hey, shoot us a letter, send us an email. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And until we come back again next week, be blessed in all your endeavors in God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Rick Gentry, you've been listening to Pastor Richard Iderosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. www.faithpreacher.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.